In a moment, pull up a chair and listen into my conversation with Jim Sullivan.
Hi, I'm Jim Sullivan, and they say that every cloud has a silver lining. I think that's true for these COVID days as well. I'll share with you what the best leaders are doing to improve their people, improve their process, and to improve their business.
Before Jim, a recap of three episodes of Bearing Up When the Chips Are Down. In episode one, I was in conversation with ITV's This Morning resident psychologist, Emma Kenny. We discuss human feelings and emotions in business in times of crisis. In episode two, I was in conversation with Professor Vicky Culpin from Ashridge Executive Business School, discussing the important connection between self-care and resilience and making the best possible decisions. In episode three, I was in conversation with renowned innovation and change expert Ron Ashkenaz. We discussed how to sponsor innovation, self-innovation, and why innovating with urgency right now is so important. And right now, it is time to meet Jim Sullivan. So, Jim Sullivan is a much respected, much admired, and I must say, much loved hospitality expert. He's CEO of Sullivision.com. Sullivision specialise in developing leaders for restaurants and retail brands worldwide. Think Heineken, think Five Guys, think Coca-Cola, think M&B, think Fuller's. Jim is most comfortable as a keynote speaker up on stage presenting and sharing his wisdom in front of hundreds. And it was at one of these seminars I first encountered Jim. He made a real impact on me. I learned a lot, and I actually booked him for a conference I was organising. Well, Jim joins us today from Wiscanton, and I'd like to start, if I may, Jim, by asking you, in your career, you will have hit bumps in the road, undoubtedly, everybody does, and you would no doubt have carefully steered your way through these crises before. How have you done that, and what's your approach been? And also, of course, welcome to this podcast.
Thank you very much. I'm really honoured to be here. I've been in this business for a very long time, over 30 years, and you're correct. I have hit bumps in the road, and I've steered my way through industry crises or personal crises before. I'd say there's three things. Number one, early on in my career, my approach was panic.
Yeah.
And then later on in my career, my approach was don't panic. And I think that has helped. Those previous experiences has helped me cope with what's going on in the industry here, UK, globally, with coronavirus. I've learned to take a deep breath, kind of mix in two cupfuls of perspective. And as cliched as it is, I ask myself often, can you remember what you were most worried about a year ago today? And is that still relevant now? I would say no, and I would say that's probably true for the last 20 years. However, I'm pretty sure a year from today, I'll remember that this was the year of COVID-19, and I'll be very clear on what I was worried about this year.
Yeah, it's almost like a default setting, isn't it? Panic.
Yeah, and I think that's a natural reaction. Because when you panic, you start thinking about what you need to do at the beginning. What's the middle going to look like? What's the end going to look like? And one of the things I've learned is focus on that strong beginning and don't worry so much about the middle because it's going to change when you get there. Really yeah. True for the times we're in. It's going to look very different when you get there. And so look for a strong beginning and a strong ending and get moving.
Did you say there were three points?
Yeah. So the second one is, when you're at the beginning, don't obsess about the middle. And the third one is don't try to apply yesterday's solutions to today's challenges. And I'm reminded of that story that if you asked a farmer 150 years ago what he would need to be more successful, he'd say, I need a horse twice as strong that ate half as many oats. He would not say, I need a tractor.
Yeah.
And if you asked a pub or restaurant owner 30 years ago, what they needed to be more successful. They might say, I need less expensive classified ads in the newspaper. I need a bigger smoking section. And I need to find ways to stop so many people applying for jobs during my busiest times. They would not say, I need contactless delivery. I need kiosks and I need third-party delivery apps. So I think you have to recognize that whatever times you're in, to apply solutions from the past is probably not going to work. And that carries over to a yearning that a lot of hospitality operators, a lot of hospitality employees have, and a lot of our customers have, and that is a yearn to return to the past. You know, let's get back to normal. But I think if the only thing we have to offer is an improved version of the past, then today's going to be inferior to yesterday.
I suppose with something like COVID on, that, you know, there is a definite strong yearning. Before wasn't too bad. Let's have some of that back. But what you're saying is, don't panic. Keep a steady even keel, and look at innovation. Look at forward thinking.
Right, and recognize that there are all kinds of change. There's episodic change, and we're in a period now of continuous change. And I think that means we have to have a different mindset. I'll talk about that a little bit more in just a minute.
Yeah, sure. Okay. Well, thanks, Jim. I had a text from a friend of mine a couple of days ago. It was a text saying that he'd just been let go. He'd been made redundant. And, you know, this can happen at any level in this industry, in any country. You could be a bartender, you could be a chef, you could be the MD of a company, or, you know, even the founder of the company. And you find that you don't have a job anymore. It's gone. You know, what advice have you got for these people?
Well, the truth is that I lost a job I love because of COVID. You referenced it earlier. I have had a robust career and a successful career in many areas of consulting, but especially as a keynote speaker at conferences worldwide. And on or about 17th of March, I lost all those opportunities this year. Everything was canceled. Some were postponed, some were just canceled. So I went from being a sage on the stage, to a guide on the side. And that shook up my lifestyle, my work style, my perspective. With all these plans we have, I had to slow down. And remember, my grandmother used to always say to us, it's an old phrase, but man plans, God laughs. And I think, yeah, that's true. We look forward. Maybe we miss opportunities to live in the present. But I think that's an important thing to remember when you lose your opportunity, when you lose your job. But a more practical suggestion is to follow what I call the 5 E's. And that, especially in this time, if you've lost your job, if you've been made redundant, or if you're just stressing out because of what's going on, the 5 E's. Number 1, eat right. Number 2, exercise. Number 3, use this time to elevate your skill sets. Yeah. Number 4, energize your sense of humor. And number 5, I'd say listen to Elton's podcast.
I think you're right, you know, Jim. The 5 E's, I like that. I like the 5th point even out of all of those.
So do I.
Yeah, I mean, energizing a sense of humor is a difficult one to do, isn't it? You know, if you have been made redundant, you've got a couple of kids that need feeding and everything. How can people do that, would you say?
Well, I think looking at the situation we're in, one of the ways you can energize your sense of humor, to me, is to recognize you didn't cause this and we're all in this together. And if it means that you get more somber, if you get more gloomy and doomy because of the news that goes on each and every day, actually, my prescription is to disconnect from all that news for a day or two, re-engage with who you are and what is funny about maybe certainly not your situation, but the world and people and the irony that abounds. I think that's part of the English character more than the US character, to appreciate the irony and sometimes the absurdity of the world. I think also if you follow a couple of those other E's, if you're feeling better about yourself, if you're exercising, eating right, and learning something in the meantime, something you didn't know before, I think that helps energize your sense of humor because it gives you more balance and it gives you perspective. And I think those are the things that can do that. But I realize I'm not trying to say, let's just all whistle past the graveyard here. It's very challenging, but I found that after a month of doom and gloom and doom scrolling through websites each and every day of all the bad things that are going on. Once I disconnected, I was able to re-engage fully with my sense of humor.
Yeah, no, I get it. You could quite easily pull yourself into a spiral of kind of downward doom and gloom, but eat correctly, exercise correctly, go and learn something, or as you put it, elevate the skills.
And, you know, I think the thing is we go from quarantine to quarantone.
Yeah. Andy, you're right. Listen to this podcast is very sage advice. Now, you know, for leaders who are there at the helm of their business during a time of a pandemic, how would you recommend that they communicate and lead with their teams?
Yes. In the US, not all food service outlets, and this is true for the UK too, have suffered during this pandemic. The QSR segment, quick service segment, has in fact shown great gains. People like Domino's, Wendy's, McDonald's, Taco Bell, et cetera. And in talking to a lot of the leaders there, I got some pretty good insight, I think, on how they pivoted at this time. Now, their choices were already aligned to the restrictions that coronavirus brought onto the industry. That is pickup, delivery. They had apps in place for ordering and also third-party apps for delivery as well. And that helped them. But I also talked to some full-service restaurant operators who are suffering a little bit more because I'm not sure of how it is in the UK, but in the US, regulations are determined on a county-by-county basis. There's no one federal guideline. So if you operate a chain of restaurants and you operate 1,200 of them, you have 1,200 different regulations that you have to adjust to and reflect upon and react to. So that can be very, very challenging too. I wanted to share that perspective before I share what I think are the skills that made companies successfully navigate this, at least at this point in time. So I'd like to share five things that I think that leaders have done. Number one, deal with uncertainty. I think that's really, really important. They talk about how people resist change, but I just don't think that's true. People change every day. They make big decisions in terms of change. They have children, they move, they get divorced, they get married, they buy houses. Change is part of everybody's life. But what people don't like is the unknown. And we are in uncertain times and unknown times. But wherever leaders can communicate clearly and often with their teams about what they think is going to happen, what the situation is now, and what it's likely to be, and what we're going to do about it, I think it's really key. To any leaders listening out there, I will say this. You don't communicate as much as you think you do. You may think you do it a lot, but you don't. You have an opportunity to communicate even more. Specificity and clarity is what brings about change. In other words, some is not a number and soon is not a time. And when you get resistance from your team, it's usually because of a lack of clarity. So number one, deal with uncertainty and deal with it by communicating clearly and honestly and transparently with your team.
But so many leaders feel they over-communicate, I think.
But you're
kind of saying the opposite. Actually, you know, you think you're over-communicating, but maybe you're under-communicating.
I would absolutely say that is correct, yes. Yeah. And if you think you're over-communicating, you can still communicate better or more clearly and more often. Number two, look through the right end of the telescope. And by that, I mean, I referred to this earlier, don't try to return to normal. Don't aim for normal. I think normal is dead. Normal is not coming back. Sure, the status quo is the easiest path. Everybody wants to go that way. But if you try to arrange everything to align with the past, you're missing opportunities in the present and the future. This is an opportunity to look at ways that we could reset our culture. We could reset who we hire, how we treat our people. As I referred to earlier, recognize that change is shifting from episodic change, just things that would happen once or twice or three times a year that we could count on, to continuous change. I think that's going to be the state of the industry, of any industry, now and in the future. A proactive mindset and strategic thinking is going to be critical to that future success. So looking at the right end of the telescope means, you know, accept the reality as it is. And while it's changing every day, in a way, we're laying track while the train is running. Make sure you clarify with your team where you're headed and make sure you're looking at the right perspective. And that is the present and the future and not just going back to the past.
Got it. Yeah. Brilliant. Look through the right end of the telescope. I like that.
Yeah. A vaccine is not going to return us to normal. Living through continuous change is the new normal. Number three is a people first mentality. And that means to show appreciation to your people more than ever before. And I know a lot of people say that they do that, but like communication, you probably don't do it enough. It's a huge tell if your recognition program occurs every 2 weeks and it's called a paycheck. Make a list of all your unit managers and your key hourly people. Twice weekly, I think you should review that list and ask yourself, did someone on my list do something that I should recognize? And then recognize them either in person with a call, email, or text. So don't just tout a people first mentality, but take this opportunity to show that appreciation for what they do each and every day and the challenges they're going through in their own lives and the inconsistencies and the rough spots and the bright spots that they're probably experiencing and we should acknowledge. I think the next step, number four, would be to build a strong culture now. Again, we've given a lot of lip service to the importance of having a strong culture. And we think it's something mysterious that certain companies are able to do that we can't do. But having a strong culture is really, it's hard to do, but it's not that difficult to achieve if you follow the right steps. And here's my pithy but succinct suggestion. Instead of looking for a room full of rock stars, we should be looking at the room instead. What's the environment in our restaurants, pubs, taverns, hotels? What are we creating there? We have to remember that businesses are ecosystems. People will grow or shrink depending on the environment we surround them with. So I think building a strong culture means that we understand what the team member experiences on a daily basis, and that that team member experience, the one that we create for them, how we treat them, well, is going to drive their beliefs, and their beliefs are going to drive their actions. Their actions will provide or drive the results we see. And most leaders focus on the results. How do we get more of this or more of that? And instead, they should be focusing on the experience and beliefs of their team members, which they can enact and create by creating a culture of teach one and a culture of kindness that starts each and every day.
It's so important, a strong culture. It's one of those things you've just got to keep chipping away at every day. Right. Be consistent.
Well, I think it all starts with who you hire and who you let on the team. Again, if you believe that every team is an ecosystem and who you surround them with will determine what they believe and how they behave, I think then it's really, really important to make hiring the most important decision. And if we had redundancies and furloughs and we're bringing people back, we want to make sure we bring the right people back that enhance skill sets and camaraderie and focus and purpose. Purpose is really, really key. We talk about manager burnout, managers don't burn out because of their workload. They burn out because of meaninglessness in their job and in their role. Yeah. It's just the same thing day after day after day, and no one recognizes, rewards, or encourages them. So I say, up your appreciation and you'll up your culture. Number five, focus and be flexible. Focus and be flexible. Think big, act small, learn fast. And having the right focus means that ties back to the first thing about dealing with uncertainty. There is, again, we're living in a cloud of uncertainty right now. And we can see, though, through the next year, we have an opportunity to get better at what we do. There are some milestones and touchstones we can look at. So I think along that way, to focus and be flexible, we need to pursue the bright spots. We always look at, well, instead of asking what's broken and how can we fix it, ask what's working right now and how can we do more of that? Because your own team members and managers are beacons of innovation. Not all of them necessarily, but many of them. And so why not switch our perspective instead of fixing things, which is important, but why don't we double down on where are the bright spots? How do we pursue them and how do we replicate them?
Brilliant. Well, thank you very much, Jim. I particularly like the look through the right end of the telescope. I like all of them, but the look through the right end of the telescope is my new mantra, I think. Now, before we press the record button for this podcast, we had a good old chinwag about music, actually. David Essex, actually, he sung about every cloud having a silver lining. Just to give it a more musical twist and to bring it to the Blockheads, Ian Dury and the Blockheads, one of our favourite bands, Jim, are there any reasons to be cheerful? You know, does the cloud have a silver lining?
Reasons to be cheerful, part three. You know, well, one positive thing about COVID is that you, as I said before, you can't blame yourself for its consequences. It's not your fault. This thing happened to all of us, so we're all in it together. And that being said, I think there's a few silver linings to COVID. I think what makes this whole thing so unsettling is that it's invisible, it's universal, and it has no parallel or touchstone in our previous experience or our lifetime. So it's hard to look at something and say, okay, well, this is what's probably going to happen. But I am an optimistic person, but I don't think I'm unrealistic in my optimism. I think the silver linings would include the fact that a sudden reset like this can really force you to reassess your life priorities. And as cliched as it is, things like nature, the environment, the changing of the seasons, the purpose of our lives, how important family and friends are. Maybe we have more time to read and think about things that really matter. Granted, that's overlaid with a stress of where do I find new employment if I have lost my job? The other silver lining is that maybe we have more time to take better care of ourselves. I alluded to that earlier.
The five E's.
Yeah, the five E's. Exercising, elevating skill sets, eating right. And I would say that the other silver lining is it gives you more time to reflect on every day what seem like trivial occurrences that are just so amazing. I can't tell you how much I appreciate and how damn awesome a night out in a pub is. I haven't been in a pub or tavern for many months, and that's been really frustrating to me. I think that's a silver lining, is to appreciate the things that we did take for granted, as cliched as it is. And also, I think the appreciation extends to our customers. A lot of times we measured customer metrics rather than actually improving customer service. And customers are yearning to patronize us. They can't wait to come back. And those of us who are able to open again, customers love us for that. They love that bit of normalcy that's been extended to our lives. And so I think when you add it all up, we might think about what Churchill said during World War II, and that is, this is no time to waste a crisis. So find the things that we can do to improve ourselves first, and find the things we can do to make the people that work for us, our teams, have more purpose and meaning, and find ways to engage our appreciation for all the things in life that maybe kind of shoot by us or have shot by us in the past, that we now realize that, you know what, maybe the little things are the big things.
Thank you, Jim, very much indeed for taking the time and trouble to share your wisdom on this podcast. Listeners will definitely want to hear more from you or read what you've written. How can they do this, Jim?
Well, they can visit us at cellovision.com at our website. And I'd also suggest, if they like to have a daily dose of this conversation, to follow me on LinkedIn, YouTube, or Twitter.
Thank you, Jim Sullivan, wisdom-filled industry guru and thoroughly decent chap. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
That was hospitality guru, all-round good egg and much-respected Jim Sullivan, who brings the four-episode series of Bearing Up When the Chips Are Down to a close. Bearing Up When the Chips Are Down was advert-free, sponsorship-free, and funded in its entirety by me, Elton Mooner. To put it quite simply, I have a long and rewarding career in the hospitality industry, and assembling the experts and producing Bearing Up When the Chips Are Down is my way of giving something back to an industry that has served me so well at a time when people in the industry could really do with a helping hand. Please press subscribe to this podcast if you like it. Do listen to the other three episodes of Bearing Up When the Chips Are Down. And if the chips are down for you and you fancy a chat, on a strictly no charge whatsoever, trouble shared is a troubled halved basis. You can find me on LinkedIn.